From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and Merry Christmas to you and your family. And welcome to this special Christmas edition of Pathway to Victory. For thousands of years, philosophers and other great minds have wrestled with the same questions. Why are we here? What is our purpose? And how can we have a happy and meaningful life? Well, for as many books as have been written on these topics, the answer isn't as complicated as you might think. And for a few ancient magi, finding the truth was as easy as following a star in the sky. My message is titled, Wise Men Still Seek Him, on today's Christmas edition of Pathway to Victory.
People who invest their lives in the kingdom of God don't look back with regret. In fact, their impact extends far beyond their own lifetime. In this spirit, some friends of Pathway to Victory have banded together and set aside a gift of $920,000 with the intention of motivating you to give from your resources as well. As you do, every dollar you give will be matched and therefore doubled until December 31st. Thank you for giving generously toward the Courageous 2020 Matching Challenge.
Well, they appear on our Christmas cards. They are the subject of some of our most beloved Christmas carols. Many times you see them in nativity scenes, standing next to Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. No, I'm not talking about Santa Claus and the reindeer. I'm talking about the wise men. You know, the wise men are the most enigmatic, the most mysterious of all of the Christmas characters. They appear out of nowhere. We really don't know much about them. And many times we have trouble relating to them. We are much more related to Mary and Joseph and perhaps the shepherds who are the common people of everyday life. But the wise men, it's hard to find a connection with them. But as we're going to discover today, of all the players in the Christmas story, perhaps it is the wise men who are most like us, because they represent the first non-Jews, the first Gentiles who ever came to Jesus Christ. And in their search for Jesus Christ and their response when they found Jesus Christ, they illustrate for all of us the essence of true wisdom in life. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 2 as we discover why it is that wise men still seek him. Matthew chapter 2. Now you remember there are differing accounts of the birth of Christ in the different Gospels. Not contradictory, but they tell the story from a different perspective because each Gospel has a unique purpose. Now when we read the Christmas story, and I'll read it on Christmas Eve to our children, we always read from Luke's gospel because Luke contains the most detail about the actual event of Christ's birth of any of the gospels. Luke was written to the Gentiles, but Matthew's gospel was written to the Jewish people to prove that Jesus was the long-anticipated Messiah promised in the Old Testament. That's why you find more references to the Old Testament in Matthew than any of the other Gospels. And so Matthew approaches Jesus' birth a little bit differently. He starts the first half of chapter 1 showing how Jesus is a descendant not only of Abraham, but of David, which was important for him to meet the Old Testament qualification for the Messiah. And then he spends one verse talking about the actual birth of Jesus. And then he talks about how he is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. And when we come to Matthew chapter 2, we fast forward past the birth of Christ, several months, perhaps even up to a year. And that's where our story picks up in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. The magi, That's who the wise men were. They were referred to as the Magi. And the Magi came from the east. We don't know exactly where in the east, but we know that they appeared around the 7th century BC. They were certainly in Persia, which is modern-day Iran. As we'll see in a moment, they were in Babylon as well. But the word Magi refers to a special class of men who were skilled in astronomy and in astrology. In fact, they were so wise that if you were in the East, you could never become a king without having mastered the knowledge of the Magi and being crowned as king by the Magi. They were the kingmakers of their day. Now, that's important to our story, as we'll see in just a moment, and it explains Herod's reaction when he heard the news of the Christ child. So you've got these Magi arriving in Jerusalem saying, verse 1 says, they were saying. That indicates a continuous action. They didn't just ask one time. They kept on inquiring of everyone around them. Verse 2, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now we'll talk in a moment. Where did they come up with the idea that there would be a Christ, a Messiah? It's very interesting. We'll come to that in a moment. But not only did they know there was a Christ coming, they were looking for a sign. And apparently it is this star that led them to believe that the Messiah had arrived. Now I want to stop here and make a very practical point. You know, one of the questions I'm asked all the time is, Pastor, if you really believe that Jesus Christ, faith in Christ, is the only way to salvation and there is no other way to him, what about people all around the world who have never heard of Jesus Christ? How could God rightly condemn them to hell because they never have heard of Jesus? Now, let me make something clear. The Bible is clear. There is no other way to God than faith in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You look in the New Testament, you can't find one example of anyone, anywhere, in any part of the world who was ever saved apart from personally trusting in the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. Remember when Jesus knelt in Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it be your will, let this experience, the experience of the cross, pass from me. He said, Lord, if there is any other way, make it known now. But heaven was silent because there was no other way. Listen to me, if there's an opportunity for people to come to God other than through faith in Jesus Christ, then the death of Christ was totally unnecessary. The way we know there's one way is not just by Jesus' word, but what he did. He gave his life because there was no other way. Well then, how can people who have never heard of Christ come to him? Look at the wise men, the Magi. When God saw these men who sincerely wanted to know God, he was willing to do whatever it took to bring them to faith in Jesus. He was willing to put a star in the sky or whatever it was to lead those people directly to Jesus Christ. And he does the same thing today. When God sees a man or woman or boy or girl anywhere in this world who really wants to know him, you can trust that God will do whatever it takes. God is much more interested in their salvation than you are or I am. That's the kind of loving God we serve. And by the way, sometimes he'll use a miracle like a star. Other times he uses other types of miracles. That's what the star tells us. God wants to redeem people, and he's willing to lead anybody to a knowledge of Christ who truly wants it. They wanted to find Christ to worship him, they said. Herod wanted to find Christ, but for an altogether different reason. Look at verse 3. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he heard that there might be a king of the Jews coming, he was troubled. That word in Greek means agitated, stirred up. And not only was he stirred up, but all of Jerusalem was stirred up as well. Now, I've often, you know, heard it said the reason the people were stirred up was simply this: when the king wasn't happy, nobody was happy. And that's true. They felt the wrath and the anger of the king. But I think there's another reason all of Jerusalem was stirred up about this announcement that there might be a king coming, and it was associated with the Magi. You know, when we think about the Magi and we see them portrayed in Christmas pageants, what do we see? We see three of them, don't we? Now, did you know there's no reason to think there were just three? I mean, the reason we say three is because there were three gifts, but it doesn't mean there were only three Magi. And what do we see them portrayed as? These old men with beards and funny-looking hats, and they're riding on old, broken-down camels, moving at slow motion speed, you know, to the tempo of the music, we three kings of glory. That's our idea of the Magi. There's nothing in the Bible that indicates that's true. The truth is, because they were aristocrats and because they were kingmakers, they didn't come in on camels. They probably rode in on high-speed Arabian horses or Persian steeds. They came from the east, and they didn't come alone. They would have traveled, as one Bible scholar says, with a group of soldiers with them and servants with them. When they entered Jerusalem, everybody knew somebody important has arrived. The kingmakers had come looking for the king to anoint. And no wonder Herod was scared. He was scared, first of all, because he didn't want his position taken. He was on shaky ground with Caesar Augustus already, who had appointed him as king. And not only that, if you had these soldiers coming in the east with the Magi, it meant a coming invasion was on the horizon. Maybe they were looking for the king who was about to overthrow Herod. And Herod couldn't afford a war right now. His soldiers were outside of Jerusalem. They were stationed up and down Israel conducting that census that Caesar Augustus had ordered. And that is why Herod and the residents of Jerusalem were stirred up. And so verse 4, gathering together all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people, Herod began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. Herod was a non-Jew, but he knew something about this promised Jewish Messiah. So he got together with the Jewish scribes and he said, now where is it this guy is supposed to be born? And they said, King, that's an easy one. 700 years ago, the prophet Micah in Micah 5:2 said he was to be born in that tiny, nondescript, little dusty village, Bethlehem, six miles south of here. That's where he is supposed to be born. So when he talked to the Magi, Herod said to them, now you go to Bethlehem. And when you find him, find all the information out you can about him and come back and report to me so that I may go and worship him too. Sure. He had a motive for wanting to find the Christ child. But the Magi weren't aware of it at that time. Later on, remember, the angel appeared to them just like he did to Joseph and said, don't come back to Jerusalem, go another way. And so they headed to Bethlehem. Look at verse 9. And having heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the Christ child was. And look at their response in verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Matthew was at a loss for words to describe the joy they felt when they found the Christ child. And so he, as one writer says, just piles superlative on top of superlative. They rejoiced. They rejoiced exceedingly. They rejoiced exceedingly with great, I have to use the word again, joy. That's all Matthew could think of saying. That's how happy they were to find the Christ child. And notice they came to the house where they were. They were no longer in the stable, telling us that some months had passed, perhaps a year had passed, when they came to the place Christ was. And they brought gifts with them, verse 11 tells us. You know, one wag said, had the three wise men been wise women instead, think of how different this story would be. First of all, if it were women who had come, they would have arrived on time. They would have stopped and asked for directions. They would have helped with the delivery of the baby. They would have cleaned the house. They would have baked a casserole, and they would have brought practical gifts for the baby. Well, there may be some truth in that. But the Magi brought gifts, and they may have been more practical than you think. Look at them in verse 11. The late James Montgomery Boyce points out some interesting aspects about these three gifts. First of all, the offering of gold. Now, gold was an appropriate gift. It was the metal of the kings. And there was probably a practical aspect to this gift. Remember, God was about to send Mary and Joseph and Jesus to Egypt to protect them from Herod. And this gold very well could have been the means of their livelihood for the time that they were in Egypt. So God brought them gold through the Magi. Secondly, the offering of frankincense or incense. Now again, this was understandable. Remember, incense was used in the worship in the tabernacle, later in the temple. It would be mixed with flour and wheat offerings, not the sin offering, but the flour and the wheat offerings, providing a pleasant aroma that would come up from the sacrifice, signifying that God was pleased with the offering of his people. Of course, Jesus Christ was going to be the ultimate offering to God for the sins of the world. But by bringing him incense, aroma, it was as if the Magi were saying, you, Jesus, are going to be the most pleasing offering to God ever. Your entire life is pleasing to God because it's lived with perfection. That was an appropriate gift for the Messiah. Gold, frankincense. But this final gift, myrrh. They brought myrrh. That was a strange gift to bring to a baby. Because in Jesus' day, the primary use of myrrh was as a preservative for a dead body. The way you would preserve a corpse was with myrrh. Now, can you imagine how strange that would be for Mary and Joseph to open the baby gifts and there is a vial of myrrh? It would be like you going to a baby shower today and bringing with you as a gift for the baby a miniature casket. Imagine what reaction you would get from the parents when you did that. But that's exactly what they did, because they were saying, here is a baby that was born to die. That was his purpose in coming. Through the gifts the Magi brought, they were showing the deity of Jesus, the acceptableness of Jesus to God the Father, and the sufficiency of Christ's death for our sins. What application can we derive from this story for us? What does this mean to us 2,000 years later? Again, let me go back to the late Dr. Boyce and point out and expand upon two principles I find from this story about the wise men. First of all, the wise men were wise enough to search for a king. They were wise enough to search for a king. Remember, I asked the question earlier, how did the wise men, these Magi, even know about the God of Israel and having a son who would come and die for? How did they ever get that knowledge if they were in Babylon or in Persia? How did they get that knowledge? Think about Babylon that was later taken over by the Medo-Persian Empire. Think about Babylon. Who was in Babylon? Do you remember? Remember? It was not only the Babylonians, but the king Nebuchadnezzar invaded Israel, and he took Daniel captive and some friends of Daniel, and later all of the residents of Judah for 70 years. Remember the story in Daniel chapter 2? Nebuchadnezzar had a troubling dream, and he wanted who to interpret it? The Magi, the wise men. And he said, by the way, you better get this right, because if you don't, I'm going to have you torn limb from limb. And so they gave it some extra attention. They couldn't come up with the right interpretation. Remember, it was Daniel who came up with the right interpretation. And it so pleased the king that Daniel specifically asked him to spare the lives of the Magi, the wise men. Daniel immediately became a hero to the Magi. And I believe, knowing Daniel, he used that place of influence to share with them the truth of Scripture about the God of Israel and about his promise of a son, not just to save Israel, but to save all who would believe in him. Daniel was a hero, and so was his teaching, and it was passed on from generation to generation until that present day of Magi. They knew there was a Christ coming. And when they saw the sign, what did they do? They said, this is it. We've got to go search for him. We must find him if he's here. That's the only logical thing to do. If there is a savior of the world who's going to take away my sin and ensure eternal life for me, the only wise thing to do is to do everything I can do to find him. And so they laid aside their religion, their tradition, their heritage to go search for the king. That's what wise people do. And that's true today as well. If you are searching today for meaning in your life, if you are searching for the answer to life, death, and eternity, that search will always bring you to the feet of Jesus Christ. The wise men were wise enough to search for him. And secondly, they were wise enough to worship the king. They not only searched for the king, they were wise enough to worship the king. The Bible says that when they arrived at the home and saw the baby Jesus, they didn't study him. They didn't debate about him. They didn't say, well, we'll wait and hold our verdict to another day. No, immediately they fell down on their face and they worshiped him. And when you come to believe in your life that Jesus is really who he said he is, he's not just a good moral teacher. He's not just a religious leader. He is the Son of God who came and died and rose again that you can have eternal life. The only logical response is to accept his gift of salvation and to dedicate your life to following him, whatever the cost. What was true 2,000 years ago is still true today. Wise men still seek him. And when they find him, they worship him with all of their hearts. I don't believe it's an accident that you're watching this broadcast today on Christmas Day. Right now, God is speaking to you and offering you his gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Please don't allow this Christmas day to slip by without receiving God's greatest gift of all, the free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In just 1 week, we're going to step into a brand new year together. At Pathway to Victory, the new year marks a significant milestone because we're engaged in the Courageous 2020 Matching Challenge that concludes a week from today, December 31st at midnight. Because of this generous offer, every dollar you give before the Tuesday night deadline will be automatically matched and therefore doubled until we reach a combined goal of $1.8 million. We're praying that God would continue to stir in the hearts of friends like you to help us build up these resources so that we can expand our outreach with the gospel in 2020 by reaching more people than ever before with the truth of God's word. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Christmas, it's my favorite time of the year. Our kids and our grandchildren come from all over to share the joys of the past year, and bless each other with gifts, and remember the true meaning of Christmas. For our family, Christmas, it's the most special day of the year. We get together for some great food and fellowship, for some great laughs and memories, and to thank the Lord for the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. Gathering together to honor the birth of our Lord and Savior, it's a tradition that we want to continue in our family. So this year, we're giving our loved ones a gift that will not only bring a smile, but leave a legacy. The daily devotional is a gift that invites the Lord into their life every day. So when the day comes for the family Christmas to take place in their home, we know that Jesus will still be the center of the celebration.
Life is better when you spend time daily with God. He guides our steps and lights a clear path for us to follow. And this Christmas, you can help your family boldly face the coming year with the brand new leather-bound Pathway to Victory Daily Devotional for 2020. This 52-week devotional contains 500 pages of practical insights for 2020. It's perfect for your own walk with God or to give a loved one this Christmas. God said in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." And anyone who is searching sincerely for the truth will always end up at the feet of Jesus Christ. Well, at some point, nearly every Christian goes through a season of doubt regarding God's existence or goodness, and many are too ashamed to ever admit it. So, how do we handle those inevitable moments of uncertainty and doubt? Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you the brand new 2020 Pathway to Victory Daily Devotional. Plus, Jesus, the fulfillment of God's prophecies, is our gift to you. Simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $100 or more, we'll also send you the complete Incomparable Christ teaching series on CD and DVD. Remember, your ministry gift right now will be double in impact thanks to our active matching challenge. So be sure to call, write, or go online today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
All of us at some point in our life will question either the love, the wisdom, or even the existence of God. If that's true of you, you're in good company. It may surprise you to know that some of the greatest men and women in history who have been used by God have all had times of great doubt.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, "For Those Who Doubt," here on Pathway to Victory. Experience Alaska's towering mountains and mighty glaciers with Dr. Robert Jeffress on the Pathway to Victory Alaska Cruise. Explore charming Alaskan ports like Juneau and Ketchikan. Then enjoy onboard entertainment with worship leader Michael O'Brien, America's favorite gospel music family, The Hoppers, and comedian Dennis Swanberg. To book your reservation for the Pathway to Victory Alaska Cruise, visit ptv.org.